You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Hello and welcome to The Crossover. This is Joe R. Lucas, and today I have the special privilege to be sitting down with Buduknost Boli Podrigica. Hope I said that right. That's head coach.
That's close enough.
Aleksandar Džikić.
That's close enough too.
Bro. Coach, thank you so much for finding some time in your extremely busy schedule to be here for our listeners on The Crossover.
Yeah, thanks for wanting me on your podcast. It's still a mystery to me. That's one of the things that we'll talk about.
That's perfect. As we go, we're going to figure out exactly why you're here. Like I said, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to hearing this story. So let's kind of just jump right into it.
Okay.
You were born March 23rd, 1971. I'm going to do a little Wikipedia on your hair.
Yeah, it's all right.
And according to the what I saw, you started coaching at 21.
Earlier
than 21.
Yeah, 91.
That's 20.
That's 20.
That's 20. Okay. So you started coaching before you turned 21.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I was kind of
No, you were close.
It's close. That's all.
You were close.
Just like... Buduknost.
She. Yeah.
I have to do that all day tomorrow on TV, so.
Oh, man. I started with Partizan Young Teams, for like 3.5 years.
Did you play basketball beforehand?
Yeah, like when I was a young girl, I played till like I was 16 or something like that. Then I just stopped for unknown reason. I was not... how to say that? Obviously, I was looking different, Obviously, I was looking different. But, I was one of those guys like, I'm not good with, authorities.
Uh-huh.
I was stubborn and all those things that I'm trying to avoid now as a coach, meaning I'm not like a true fan of those kind of players.
But you're known as a somewhat of an authoritative coach. You're tough, but you're fair.
I like to say demanding. I like to say demanding. Yeah, I like to say demanding, and I like to say hey guys, let's figure out what we need to do together in order to win. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many stories about what's so important. Is it X and O's? Is it chemistry? Is it a talent level? Is it club logistics? Probably it's a mix of everything.
Right.
But what I have under control, it's something that, I'm trying to think about it, basically, on the start of every season. Hey, guys, let's figure out what's your driver. Everybody have a different driver, different motive. And basically, chemistry for me is like everybody giving up a little bit.
Right.
And, and once you have that, and when they understand that no matter how you treat them, whatever that means, it's good for them to be there or mm-hmm. here. Then, you can coach your way. That's what I believe in. Let's say that I had some success with teams that I was coaching.
Mm, which you have.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's just my individual problem is the strong word, but it is situation, with me. I'm always like, hey, I want to do better. Mm-hmm. better. I'm not sure that I know how to talk about myself.
Well, we're going to do it today.
Listen, I told you off the record why I'm doing this. So, if you want to mention that, that's fine with me, man.
No, you have to mention that. It's going to sound bad.
No, because you are who you are. And I was back in the days, I was a fan. And I I received an email. My PR guy said, hey, Joe. I said, Joe who? Joe. Oh, that Joe, okay. So what he wants? He wants to talk to you. They're starting a podcast or they're doing the podcast. And I was like, sure, that's me. Yeah, he wants you. I said, fine, let's do it in Madrid. It is a busy day. Literally.
You guys had a crazy day today.
Yeah, it's a crazy day. We started at 7 o'clock in Podgorica, and we were in Madrid at 7 o'clock, 12 hours later. And, that's one of those days hey, guys, okay, no practice. Because, there's no way that
I was looking at your schedule, I was thinking, man, is he going to make them practice? That's not the kind of coach I want to play for.
No, it's... it's not a problem. You can make them do that. Absolutely, yeah, right. Of course. But for what? For what reason?
Yeah,
I believe in if I'm trying to do something and I'm believing in that, it's better be with some reason.
Right.
I don't like to be disciplinarian, authority or whatever it is, just because.
Well, things have changed nowadays. The players have changed.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
Yeah. It is absolutely different. Absolutely different. And you know what? Sooner or later, all of us. I call us basketball fans. It really doesn't matter are you a fan in a stance or coach or media guy or referee or GM or what agent or player. There is a thing that I'm not sure that all of us want to admit, but you know, there is a big threat. And that's that whatever approach. Mm-hmm. So many whatever guys.
Right.
Oh, whatever. You know, back in the days, some people were calling that NBA cool or whatever it is. But, you know, nowadays we have it in Europe on every level, literally every level, yeah. Starting even with the kids under 16.
Oh, it's amazing.
I
coach kids that are 14 to 18 years old, and it's the same
thing. Believe me, they have attitude.
They
have attitude.
And mine are no good. Mine aren't even good players. They're just kids from school.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a basketball school for kids. It's not like organized club, whatever it is. Like, it's not the deep, you know, top of the tops. But
when you started at this young age, in like now in Spain where I live and many countries in Europe, you have to have some sort of certification, some kind of guidelines, federated as they call it. Was that an issue for you, or did you have to go through schooling?
Actually, we have, you know, I believe that's like a pretty good way of getting education in coaching business.
Right.
We have that, and back in the days, and that was like a long time ago, 27 years ago, we had a, you know, that was just, let's say, the Department of College for Physical Education.
Right.
Actually, we had the same professors. But we were more pointed to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Like, if you finish that, that was like a really serious school. When you finish that, that gives you some kind of, I like to use the word foundation for everything else.
Right.
And then, you know, it's about like everything else. Like, if you're a hard worker, if you want something, if you want to achieve, like, yeah, of course you'll do it. But, you know, at the start, I started as assistant coach for a great teacher. His name is Dragan Dragosavac. He's an old, Serbian coach, Belgrade coach, who was, specialized for younger players. Mm-hmm. And I was his assistant. And the crazy thing happened.
That was
in Partizan. Yeah. And crazy thing happened, like, after just, I don't know, like 3-4 months, he had some kind of surgery. So all of a sudden, it's under 16 Partizan official team. We don't have better players than that. And I'm coaching them as like a rookie coach.
Rookie coach.
Yeah, but not, back in the days, I don't know what people are doing now with all the internet and, you know, all those, you know, sources. But I know that I was watching so many practices of older coaches, other teams. And I think I translated more books than anyone else.
Huh.
Because that was the way to get some kind of knowledge. For example, you have a book and you don't speak English. I'm trying to speak English. So I'm, you know, translating that. I'm giving you my copy and I'm getting my copy. So then I'm trading with somebody else.
Right.
And, you know, back in the days, VHS was a rare thing. But then VHS starting. Then, you know, later, you know, so
it's
many things.
Where we are now, isn't it?
It is kind of strange. No, I'm thinking about, you know, young guys today. You know, like they say, like everything is approachable, everything is there. But, you know, I believe in one thing. It is so important to know what you want as a coach, to understand what is the form, what is the essence.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you understand the difference between those two, then you can be, good coach, whatever that means. Because good and successful are, for me, pretty different things.
Right, absolutely.
You can be successful. And you don't have to be good, whatever that means, or you can be
or
a good coach,
versa.
But not,
exactly.
Yeah, and not successful. I don't know, EuroLeague. So there's a one champion every year. What it means? Other guys are not good in their jobs? Oh, come on.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, so.
But somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose.
Absolutely, because that's that type of competition.
Right.
But doesn't mean, like, it was always funny for me, like, automatically, the coach of the champion is the coach of the year.
Right. No,
you know, like on any level, every organization or every competition, I was like, come on, guys. Literally, that doesn't mean a lot. But, you know, let's find rules.
It's like when you talk about 3-point shooters. And like I did this podcast with Jason Granger just a week ago. And I explained to Jason, I said, you know, up until this year, you shot 31% from the 3-point line. But I said, I always saw you taking those shots in the last 3-4 seconds of the shot clock with the ball in your hand.
Absolutely.
So that's a huge difference. No one sees that. You don't see everything. That, listen, all you see is that 31%.
Yeah,
you know?
Stats are so funny.
Yeah.
Because I understand part of it. I understand the obsession of it.
Yeah.
I understand. Am I like a crazy follower? I'm not sure. Okay, for example, you're shooting 3 of 15. Mm-hmm. But what if all those three made shots are like in the last 2 minutes?
Right.
I mean, you will not find that in stats.
Exactly. And you won't find what the quality shot was.
Or you made
the
first three, then missed 12.
Right.
It's not the same. Really not the same.
No. Stats are always misleading. They're a guideline for
I understand
for most
that because, you know, like, listen, media is inside the basketball. I understand that's some kind of tool for all those guys following. You know,
but now it seems like this analytical thing is coming.
Are you
into
serious?
Play. No, it's in baseball. It's in American baseball.
Listen,
it's in American football.
Listen,
it's
Billy Bean changed the planet.
Exactly.
Billy Bean changed the planet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what the funny thing is? I read the book about it before the movie.
Did you? Oh, I read the book also. It's a great book.
It is. Book is great. I mean, movie is good. If you
right.
want to be honest, you know, like movie is good. And like you're thinking, okay, it worked for them.
Right, exactly.
Great, but you know, it's got to be on limits of stuff. Because listen, they don't call it analytics. Now they call it tendencies. We are figuring out the tendencies. Okay, listen, if I have a Lul, is that the right way to pronounce it? A Lul or right?
Listen, I'm on TV and I always mess it up myself. So
okay,
don't
anyway.
Don't embarrass me in front of all our listeners.
Yeah, like if you have him, I guess you have a different tendency in the game than somebody who doesn't have it.
Right.
Because he's, you know, top of the tops. And, you know, like, you know, quality of players. Because as a coach, I just believe in the simple rules. Like, hey, my job, try to maximize your good things and try to hide the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it. If you can do it, you're a good coach.
Right.
Because, like, you know, talent level, it is important. But effort is so important.
Absolutely.
Energy.
Well, I'm going to ask you that question later.
Yeah,
what you look into. But I want to get into what was always an interesting thing for me when I came over here and, you know, a kid from upstate New York, from the States. And
not Lithuanian?
No. No.
I tried.
Shit, I wanted. I should have been for 92, but that's another conversation.
Man. For years, you know, the guys were like thinking about.
God, I wish I would have done it. We'll talk about that afterwards. I wish I would have.
Yeah,
done
I have to hit you back. So,
so anyways,
no, it's all right.
You're born and raised in Belgrade.
Belgrade,
and I, you know, I was, I think, fortunate enough, and at times unfortunate enough to have to come over here and play in places like Belgrade, Zagreb, and Croatia during these wars,
mm-hmm.
the civil war of everything that was going on.
Misunderstandings.
Yeah, misunderstandings. I mean, you've lived through the Social Republic of Serbia. You've lived through the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia.
Any country in Belgrade, I lived there.
You lived in all of them. But what was, as a kid growing up, and it's a 10-year war we're talking about.
Yeah, it's almost like nine years.
That was the Yugoslavia war. Then there's many more with that. And I was with a chauffeur, a taxi in Serbia, in Belgrade, and he said, I'm 38 years old and I've lived through four wars.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Yeah, and it just made
from
me
from 91 to 99 with the little breaks.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Great times. Listen, it is tough. It is different from outside. It is different from inside. I'm not sure that, you know, people would understand everything, our differences and
But as a kid growing up, I mean, was it the bomb shelters? Was it were you able to go to school?
Actually not. You know, like I paid my dues and, you know, I finished with that. And after that, I started with the basketball. And, you know, that was there. I mean, you live that type of life.
Right.
Absolutely, it's there. But, you know, how to say that? I was a part of opposition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every raids, every, you know, like protests, I was there and everything.
Oh, so you were one of
for
the
years.
People, like, in the front line
protesting? Yeah, not a front line, but I was there. Like,
you were there,
you know,
supporting?
Yeah, I was supporting, like, for a whole 6 years. Then I remember the day when,
from,
you know.
From what age? I'm sorry, from what age?
From, I was 20 to 26. And okay. I remember the night when me and my guys from my neighborhood, like, we are talking about, like, hey, listen, this thing stinks.
Right.
Right. Yeah, this is not what we want. This is not what we support. Then we stopped. And after that, literally last 20 years, I'm politically not involved at all because I don't know. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like I have my own theory about, you know, the role of Michael Jordan and all those guys,
right.
Including you and Mr. Sabonis.
don't put me all, in the same class as Michael Jordan, please.
No, all those like big names because, right. Yeah, it was those crazy years, but still we had a chance to follow those guys playing basketball.
Right.
And, you know, already, you know, it started with you know, like broadcastings. We had a chance to watch all those. And, you know, you would be amazed. I think Michael Jordan have no idea how popular he was, I don't know, in Serbia, in Belgrade, probably in Croatia, or anywhere. Yeah. You know, I think he would be amazed. Because, 92 Barcelona and everything is, you know, like shiny dream team and everything. But, man, you have to go to those parts of the planet and check it. Like, those guys would be surprised. And literally, since, you know, our national team, and I believe that for every nation, national team have to be some kind of leader of basketball. And in that period, you know, our national team, we were banned from every competition and everything from 91 to 95. And I think that that NBA thing helped. And, you know, the fact that our best players played across the Europe, all around the Europe, you know, it helped. It helped to kids. I know, like, I was coaching then. I was you know, coaching then. Actually, I started as a head coach, like, when I was 94 or something. I was, like, very young, 23 or something. And, you know, I know how, you know, what my players were thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it meant a lot to
them.
It
can't be easy to show up for practice every day with things going on all around you.
Honestly, when I look back...
Or was it more of like a release?
Well, it's, you know, I guess, listen, now we can, you know, create any kind of theory. I guess it was some form of escapism, you know, probably. You know, like, I'm doing my job, you know, I'm doing what I like. You know, I'm very proud that I'm doing, that, you know, I'm making my living, I'm providing for my family, doing what I like. I love basketball, you know. I'm not sure that I'm crazy about coaching, but I love basketball.
No matter where you go in Serbia, I mean, the basketball court is a sanctuary for
it is.
For
it's a big
so
thing
many
back
people.
Home. It's a big thing back home. Really, it's a big thing. Yeah. I mean, partially, I mean, we're good at it.
Right. Oh, yeah, great. I
yeah,
mean,
we're good
it's
at
incredible.
It. You
coaches,
know, players are
players.
Good coaches. You know, even, you know, the guys who were running the organizations, big names, really big names. They changed the history, you know, and that's it.
I want to say Partizan is one of the biggest European clubs, but they're actually one of the biggest clubs in the world in all reality.
That's really a big club. Like, when
it's amazing.
I have no idea, like, I have no idea how we can evaluate that. But, like, when you write down on a paper, and I like to use that, I like to use that as a some kind of, you know, exam or a drill. Like, if write it down on the paper, all those names, those guys who played over there. It's amazing.
I want to go through some of the young kids that you coach. Give me some of the names that we were.
Well, I was
know.
There, like, you know, Peđa Drobnjak.
Of course.
Peđa Drobnjak was a junior when I was assistant junior coach and head coach. Čubrilov, he stopped his career a little bit earlier. I like to believe that I was one of the guys who changed the career of, you know, Dejan Milojević. He played EuroLeague, you know. Oh. And then... some other guys, you know, after that in Lietuvos Rytas, I worked with Valančiūnas. Mm-hmm. I worked with brothers Dragić, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
They were young then.
Yeah. I was the last European coach, whatever that means, of Zoran, of Goran before he went to States.
Went to NBA.
Yeah. And who was there in Partizan? All those, you know, like now, you know, Veličković was a young kid. Back then, Krstić was there. Mm-hmm. I was assistant for Saša Pavlović. He played later in the NBA for many years. And all those players, you know, like, if I didn't work with them, I coached against them. So, you know, that's like, it's not that big of a community. Like, we all of us, we know We know each other. Right, absolutely. You know?
I saw that when I was there for the Final Four. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like everybody, it's family.
Yeah, we know each other. You know, we know a lot of us know each other.
What was 92 like? 92 is just, was an amazing, yeah. I mean, you talk about a club that's won, I got to hear it.
Unbelievable.
Down, 45 titles, 21 national championships,
crazy.
14 national cups, six Adriatic championships.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
92 was one, like, I guess, you know, younger listeners. They don't know that, but, you know, that year, since we were, like, under sanctions and everything, Partizan played all home games in Spain.
Right here in
Madrid.
Fuenlabrada. I have that written down. That was one of my questions.
That's, yeah,
I
mean, and that's a fact.
It's become more well-known since this connection between Selko Obradovic and the people from Fuenlabrada. It's become a little bit more. But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was playing in Europe, and I had no idea. Yeah. I was playing in 92. Where I was in Victoria. I'm sorry, 92. Yeah. I wasn't here yet. But I had no idea that they played those
games.
Listen
to this. We played one game. We played one game at home, and that was a game we played against Bologna. I think their name was Knorr then.
Knorr Bologna, yep. Yeah, exactly.
Knorr Bologna.
And you played the playoffs, I think.
Yeah,
that was in the
One game in playoffs. And the funny, how I remember that, I was coaching the game before the game, just for fans. You know, I was very young, and we played under 16, two teams, you know, let's go up and down, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, there was a game, and they had no chance, absolutely, because we were so hungry of everything, you know, supporting our guys and everything. Because, you know, it's kind of heroic, you know, it's epic, actually, it's epic. Because nobody did it before, and hopefully nobody will repeat it. When I say hopefully, I mean, like, I hope teams will not be in that position.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Because then you were sanctioned by FIBA, I understand.
Yeah, everything. Listen, after that, we didn't play.
You couldn't even defend the title.
No.
In 93.
That was it.
What was that like for the club? I mean, that's... Because that takes away from the sport. It becomes more political now.
But you know what? Like, after that year, Željko stayed as a coach. It's funny. We started the same year. I guess he's way more successful than me. Man, it's
well,
crazy.
It's like you said before, just because he got titles doesn't mean...
No, but it is crazy. His achievements are...
It's
unbelievable.
Amazing. Yeah, I've had the luck and the fortune of being able to play for him.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Like, if he's not doing it every year, they say, you know, I told you, he's not the one. And I'm like, listen, great coaches never won it. Some of them, they had like one ring. And he has so many.
Nine now.
You know, come on, guys, just be real. But anyway, Željko stayed in club. Sasha left. Djordjevic. Danilovic left.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rebrac left. I think, or he stayed. Nakic left.
But these guys were young, though, when they were
well,
there.
Well, you know. Yeah, 24, 21, 22. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like these were veteran players that they went out and won a EuroLeague championship. They were young kids.
Yep. I mean, in that moment, in 92, they were best guard, you know, backcourt, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know who was better.
Then you became assistant at Biovuk?
Yeah, it was like...
did I say that right?
Yeah, Biovuk, yeah. It's like Belgrade Wolves. and this is totally funny. Like, I'm 23... And I'm talking to the guy who is very important in my life, Misha Lakic. And, you know, he's...
Important for what reason?
I will explain you right now. It's literally, this was offer. Listen, I will coach the games, but you will do the practices. Remember, I'm 23.
Right.
So Milojevic is in my team as a 17, and all four guys, one of them was my age, and three of guys were older than me. And that was in that moment.
That
was
like a
players. Yeah.
That, yeah.
And that's pro level. That's like a first division.
Right.
And I started there, and I stayed like 5 years there. And at the same time, I had like duties in a first team or senior team, call it as you like, and with under 16, under 18, and we were pretty successful. And you know, I stayed 5 years there. Then I.
You took over the team at 26, right?
Yes. Yes.
20, that was, but so that, even before that was your first head coaching job
that's
at
officially,
a high level.
Yeah, that's officially I took over. You know, but before that, I was amazed with the chance I had. Mm-hmm. Really. Like, hey, literally, he was coaching the games, timeouts and everything, but I was running the practices. X and O's were 100% mine.
And the, you know, I tell everybody, and the, you know, I try to preach to my kids, like, schooling's important, but there's nothing like being thrown into it. There's
yeah, absolutely. Like experience is unbelievable. Yeah.
Of going through yeah. it.
Because it's the same with the college education. Yeah, it prepares you right. for the real life. Real life is something totally
but,
different.
But once you get the experience of working with a certain company, whether it's basketball, whether it's whatever, yeah. and that's where you become
well,
intelligent.
You have absolutely. Yeah, it's the same thing with you know, at the start, you have potential, then you build it to talent, and from talent to quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are steps.
And you go back to your home club.
Yeah, I came back.
Well, I to be assistant coach again.
Yeah, for the next 6 years under three coaches.
Under yeah,
under
exactly.
Three.
Under three coaches. You
said. Yeah.
Did you feel like you were looked over at any time?
No,
No. Felt like you were in your
position? I didn't feel like that at all. And all three of them were like, I really believe they're good coaches. Really, mm-hmm. really good coaches. A little bit different, but really good coaches. I spent 4 years with Dule, with Osric, and in that moment, believe me, he was so, and I like to use the word, he was obsessed with teaching young guys, making them better. Mm-hmm. And believe me, Joe, we worked so hard and so much.
You guys work hard, man.
No. Listen, I'm trying to explain these guys, like, hey, what we are doing right now, what I was doing like 15 years ago, this is, sorry, guys,
yeah.
baby powder. And they were like, what do you mean? What do you mean,
coach? The athletes changed over the time.
Yeah, been, but listen.
A little bit more pampered, maybe.
Oh.
A little bit easier.
No doubt. More agents, more yeah. more guys around them who want their piece of pie.
That's why one of the questions I did a podcast with David Blatt, and one of the questions that I had for him was, what's more important nowadays? Is it that part of the coaching, or is it the X and the O's? Because the X and O's are always important during the game. But during the game, you're only playing a couple times a week.
Yeah,
you're,
managing.
You know,
managing.
Off of it is you're yeah. managing, you know, 72 to 96 hours a week. What's the more important part?
Well, I believe you cannot. Actually, yes, you can even win without X and O's. If you understand one thing, like I read it somewhere. I don't know who said it. I think it was Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight said that overcoaching is the biggest
mm-hmm.
coach's sin. But you know what? I guess it's, you know, connected to one's ego.
Right.
You know, like, more ego you have, you want to become important. And you want to almost, like, hey, so many coaches are competing with their players. Am I right?
Right, yeah.
You played for so long and you played yeah. successful. So, you know, so many coaches, they want to compete. They want to, you know, like, force this. And again, you know, you heard that before. My way or highway, blah, blah, blah. No, it's our way. It's our mm-hmm. way. It's got to be, I think,
exactly.
especially today. Especially today.
It's always nice to listen to your team's input during a game because they're actually playing it. It's whether you know, it's how you listen to it also, because I play with coaches like Zelko. He'll listen to you, but then it's like, just, okay.
No, of course.
He's like, well, you might be right, but then you sit down and...
That's autocracy with counseling. You know, I'm listening to you. It's all right. We'll do this.
All right, explain to me. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, because this is the question I'm dying of. You get into the summer league in the NBA, yeah. but how does a kid from Serbia that started coaching at 20-year-old
You heard that
up,
story? You heard that
no,
story?
No, I haven't heard the story. I'm dying to hear it, because I see that you did the summer league 3 years in a row, and then all of a sudden you're assistant coach
in Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
Listen,
that come from? Only coach to ever go into the U.S.
Prior
without
of living,
any...
Yeah. Any
experience.
Connections.
Not
experience.
High school, not college,
no.
not grammar school, not NBA, not
no.
CBA.
No.
Not G League, as they call it today.
Yeah, it's a G, M, B, D, L, G, L, whatever.
Excuse my French, but how the hell does that happen?
Listen.
Fill us in, please.
Yeah, of course. I think it was during my Beowulf years, 96, 97. At the same time, I was assistant coach with under-16 national team, Serbia, Montenegro. So we're traveling around. You know, people are following NBA guys, scouts, you know, whatever that means, lower level, or, you know, like all those workaholics, you know, directors of personnel. So, you know, like people are approaching you. So you're getting to know, you're making contacts. But on the other end, I'm a king of not keeping the contact. No, really, I'm the king of it. It is so funny, you know.
You're still not explaining to me how you got there, then. Now you're starting to sound like you're further away.
I will come back.
Okay.
So, like, it is all those connections, all my contacts with the NBA guys are more intense. Some of them, we started became, you know, closer. And I always believed that part of my job, and from 99 to 05, I was assistant coach at Partizan. I believe that my job is to know young players across Europe.
Right.
Some potentials, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's say that I was good at it. You know, I knew a lot of young guys. And, you know, like, we always exchanging informations, opinions, right. All of it. And then it was funny. It's spring 03. So literally, this is a story. Sitting at the same table, it's R.C. Buford. It's San Antonio GM. Mm-hmm. Next game is David Pendergraf. He's a Seattle players director. Let's say that he was like a third, fourth person in the
Go back a little bit. That's Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
Some of the younger listeners might not know that.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
It's Oklahoma City, there was
a Seattle before Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine from Slovenia, he's now a European scout for Portland. So we're sitting, we're sitting in my neighborhood, New Belgrade. One of them is leaving the table, mm-hmm. going to, you know, I don't know, restaurant, whatever. So the other one is asking me, like, hey, Alex, have you ever thought about, you know, maybe, you know, coming to the States for a summer league? And I was like, wow. And back in the days, that was like a really big thing. Mm-hmm. And I will explain you why. And I was like, wow, yeah, of course. Done deal.
Have you ever thought of this before?
Absolutely. But
oh, you did? Oh, you
no,
did?
No, absolutely I didn't.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. I'm thinking there's no way.
Because, like, listen, I always had a problem to ask somebody for favors. That's just my general problem. Right. And, you know I'm speaking to Loise, my friend, my Slovenian friend, and we are talking about Americans generally. And she said, listen, if you don't ask, they believe that you're not interested in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started mentioning it, whatever. And, you know, like he said, like, would you come? And I was like, yes. Listen to this, Joe. And this is 100% truth. So the other guy is coming, sitting. The other one is going over there. The other guy is asking me the same question. Hey, Alex, would you come with us to Seattle for a summer league?
The guy that asks you already gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
The other guy comes back and asks you the same question.
And look, listen, I swear, I thought it was a prank.
You're in that candid camera.
Yeah, I was like, okay, guys, like, I'm not a kid, so what is that? No. So now, like, a minute later, both are there. Listen, guys, something strange happened. RC offered me, David, you offered me, so let's do something. Well, what you want to do? I want to go with both. Okay. Then first I went to Seattle. Nate McMillan was a head coach. Dwayne Casey was associate head coach. Dean Dimopoulos was there. But really, just the four of us, five guys.
Right.
Five guys. Great summer league team. Luke Ridnour, Nick Collison, Radmanovic, Dubrovnik, Matt Barnes, crazy talent. But we are 7 days in Seattle. So I'm flying from Belgrade to Seattle. From the day one, we started. It's a serious preparation for a summer league. So I don't know what's a summer league. So I think that everybody's doing the same way. 7 days there, then we go to LA 2 weeks. So I'm like 3 weeks, we settle. We finished that. We won that year. Yeah. I mean, Seattle won. And, you know, I'm catching the plane and I'm going to Vegas. To Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City, yeah.
But after their invitation, there is another thing. Every June, we have a big coaches clinic in Belgrade. I don't know, is it the biggest or whatever, but it's always 1,000 coaches, 1,000. Mm-hmm. And we always have American coaches, big and European names. That year was Greg Popovich. And I was translating for him. And he gave, like, for 3 days, he was giving everything. And listen to this. This is, again, 100% true. And the last day, I'm asking him, Coach, when you're leaving, he said, you know, day after tomorrow, can we sit 60 minutes, you and me, one-on-one? And he's looking at me like I'm nobody. And, you know. Okay, yeah, meet me at the lobby, 9:00 in the morning. So I'm in the lobby at 8:30. He's coming down 8:35. And he was like, wow, you already here? I said, I am. Let's start. And for an hour, X&O's, hour and a half, X&O's, questions, answers.
So you were just picking his brain then?
And he was picking mine, I guess. I don't know.
Okay,
listen, that's Greg Popovich. I'm like, wow. What's going on?
Everybody learns from everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And he said, like, bring all these papers to the Summer League. Okay. So I'm in a Salt Lake. Listen to this. Listen to this coach's roster of San Antonio that year. Mike Brown. After that, Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland, LA, whatever.
One coach of the year, I believe.
Yeah. Brett Brown, Philly. Mike Budenholzer, Atlanta. James Borrego was a video analyst. Joe Prunty.
This was the Summer League.
Summer League roster, coaches roster, and I was the sixth one. As my ex-wife likes to say, like, all of them are head coaches, and you're like, would you describe to the listeners what I'm doing? You know, I'm just falling down. Hand going down. Like,
of
I'm
course,
falling.
The minute you said ex-wife, we knew it wasn't going to be positive.
Absolutely. Anyway, and then next year, another great thing happened to me. Our coaches association, we used to organize, we call that school trips. We pick 2, 3, 4 guys, coaches, and we send them to a college program that we pick and then to some NBA team. That year, I was there at North Carolina, All Access. Sorry, first we went to San Antonio Spurs, but a seniors camp before the season. They finished there. We are flying to Chapel Hill, All Access.
The University of North Carolina.
Yes, 6 weeks. The whole from practice.
Who's coaching?
Ray Williams, first year.
Roy Williams. That was his first year.
First year. Season already started back home in Belgrade. That's 04. But before that, I was in the Summer League.
But you were under contract at this time.
With Partizan, yeah. And they let me go. So 03 was Seattle and San Antonio. 04 was San Antonio. And 05, Dwayne Casey signed with Minnesota. So he's inviting me for Minnesota Summer League. And we were there talking all night long with Kevin McHale. That's unbelievable. He's a basketball genius, believe me.
One of the greatest big men ever, too.
Listen, unbelievable. His understanding of everything on off the court, great. And, like, we're literally talking about basketball for days. And listen to this. So now I'm leaving Partizan 05, and I'm getting the head coaching job also in Serbia, first division, Atlas. Mm-hmm. Was a team also in Belgrade. I started working. After a month, there is a fax for me.
A fax. Yeah. Everybody doesn't know
email,
that. That's
fax,
a piece of
email.
Paper that comes through a telephone.
Yeah. Fax or email, doesn't matter.
We sound so old over here.
Yeah, we are, man. And all of a sudden, it's a 3-year guaranteed deal. Full-time assistant,
in
NBA.
In Minnesota.
Yep.
And Dwayne Casey takes over.
Dwayne Casey's a head coach.
Head coaching job.
And
who you were with in Seattle.
Yeah. And already. I met him in Seattle. Right. And we were in contact. We were endless discussions about basketball. And then Kevin McHale supported that idea, and all of a sudden I'm in Minnesota. 3-year deal. And I spent 2 years there.
What were your duties? What were your duties?
Same as other assistant coaches. And I was, these days they call it players development. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and it's not like today, like it was less assistants, less staff. I know, like, last two summers I was with Toronto Raptors. Casey was a coach. During the Summer League, it is crazy how many coaches you have over there.
Yeah,
and I like first.
But the assistant coaching position there, and I don't want to say this in a bad way towards Europe, but it's a coveted position. It's an important position. The
over
assistant
there,
coach. Yeah,
it is. Listen,
it's less important here. There's less importance given to assistant coaches than there is there.
One time they asked me what is the coaching job in States. I said that's a status symbol. They call you coach. It's a status symbol, like. And I spent 2 years over there. I came back, and then I took over start of 2008 Olympia Ljubljana.
But before that, you were released from them, and then Whitman took over.
Yeah, no. I was with Whitman. 2 years. I spent the whole 2 years in a camp.
He was an assistant with
yes,
you.
Yes, and he took over.
And then he took over. Yeah. And then he released you immediately, or was it
No. He kept me. We had a very good relationship, I believe. But, you know, at the end of the season, I was like the only guy from the old staff, blah, blah, blah. And he said, like, listen, you can stay here. You have a, you know, how do you say that? You have a contract, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you want to go home. Anyway, it was one of those things, like, I think that he wanted to help somebody. Right. And, you know, that was my spot. And that was fine with me. I went, you know, came back to Belgrade, traveling a little bit across the Europe. And then actually, you know, contact started in December, and in January I took over the EuroLeague team.
In Olympia.
As a head coach, yeah, Olympia.
Well, my last question about the NBA, nothing to do about the NBA, but what about that Minnesota winter?
Hey, listen.
did you ever get used to it?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. I did, really. It is crazy. Listen, I was on the street walking, minus 32.
Yeah.
Minus 32. It's... Like, for example, the biggest, back in the days, that was the biggest shopping mall on the planet.
Mall of America.
Yeah. And I don't know, do you know it? You know, they don't have a heating system. Yeah. Human bodies are heating the whole mall.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
And it's an open mall. It's not open, but it's a glass.
It's like, it's a glass, and it's very high ceiling.
Yeah.
Very high ceiling. I mean, they have an amusement park.
Man. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Listen,
and it's
relentless. It's great during the spring and summer.
Yeah.
Unbelievably beautiful, especially if you're an outdoor guy. But about the winters, that wasn't my cup of tea.
No. The trips to Miami were nice.
That was
good. The trips down to New Orleans, while New Orleans went around there and all
Miami. I mean, like, West Coast was pretty good. No, NBA is different. I mean, it is different. And people don't understand it. Off the court, it's maybe even bigger difference than on the court. You know,
that's exactly what David Blatt said. David Blatt said in his interview with me was, if he would have known more about off the court stuff, he would have probably been even better than he was at the time.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Is so important to. I mean, it's pretty much the same in Europe, but over there, it's so important to be surrounded with people you can trust.
So much
backstabbing over there, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, probably here the same, but you know, like for me,
there's less people here you can backstab. There's the same amount of backstabbing going on, but with less people. There's millions and millions
but
of coaches waiting to take position.
For example, since media, it's a big part. It's a big part of
huge.
Everything. Yeah. And if you're a well-known name, whatever that means, ex-player, something like that, you really have better chances to become.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do you hear that before? And did you hear that before or not? Like George Collins was one of the loudest coaches about everlasting battle between ex-players, coaches.
Right.
And the coaches who started with the under 14, 16, high school, college, NBA,
right,
whatever it is. He said, like, listen, guys, those are totally two different things. And I agree. I'm not an ex-player, ex-successful player. I guess, you know, everybody wants to follow Željko's steps, and it's so hard.
Yeah. We'll get into Selko a little bit
later. Yeah, whatever.
You took over the Olympia midway through January.
Yeah, in January, we won that
year. You got that team to the EuroLeague.
Yeah, we were in EuroLeague. Nothing special. I mean, we were out. We couldn't advance the second round. But what was funny, we had, like, a very tough situation over there. You know, like, a team had many groups. That's where I was coaching Dragic.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a talent.
Amazing. Love watching him play.
Yeah, that ability. That agility, that ability to change speed in so much, in little areas, in little space.
And the ability to stop also. His ability to stop on the dime. Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah, it's nuts.
And I'm proud to say, like, some of the things, I don't know, maybe I wasn't the first one, but I was really pushing him, like, crazy hard. He was by far the youngest guy. By far. Anyway, we won there and played the finals of ABBA League. The next season started, and I was fired in somewhere in the middle of December.
Right, that was because the results weren't good all of a sudden.
Actually, it was a mix of
forgot about what happened the year before.
It's always like that. I mean, listen,
you're as good as your last game.
Yeah, but exactly. You see, that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That sentence is one of the craziest sentences that coaches are keep on repeating.
Yep.
Actually, you're shooting at your own foot. Mm-hmm. Why would you say something like that? Because, first of all, it's not true.
Right.
I mean, really, it's not true.
But it's the perception that's given
But who's building that?
Well, the people who are releasing these people, the owners, the directors.
Would you agree with me that, you know, some of the most successful organization in any professional sports. When I say professional sports, NCAA programs, basketball and football are also professional sports.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to make everything clear.
Oh, of course.
Well, listen, Krzyzewski, how many years is there?
Listen, to me, continuity is number one.
Absolutely.
Continuity is number one.
So you have to chew and swallow bad season, bad season, bad season. Call it as you like, resetting, reevaluating, building process. Doesn't matter. I will just give you the simple example. Philly, Sixers, what they were doing. No. 1 year, 2 years. What about now?
Now?
They're a very serious team.
Believe the process is what they're saying.
Well, you know.
They're getting there. Well, little by little.
Yeah, but, you know, talent is there.
But it takes time.
Absolutely.
You know, that was one of the things. I always mock myself and say that I wasn't, and I'm not talking on the court, I'm talking off the court. I wasn't the smartest player. I wasn't the
smartest person. What's the smartest player?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. But I did realize that the most important thing to me was to sign on teams for a couple years at a time. And I was fortunate to go to Victoria and sign for 3 years. I came to Madrid, signed for 3 years. And that maximized my ability.
Let me stop you right there. Those two teams are one of the most famous organizations in Europe for keeping players for a long time.
Exactly.
Like, my opponents tomorrow, I mean, like, they're not, who am I to call a Madrid opponent? Yes, we play in the same league. But it is crazy. Listen, it's a crazy talented team.
Yeah.
And so what are they doing?
But it's based on that.
Yeah, they're keeping... Listen, if I believe in a guy, like, why am I signing him for a year if I have a chance?
Right.
Okay, Madrid is like a really big name. For example, Partizan, we had the chance to keep the players just for 1 year. We help them and they have to leave. So we are making money, so we are finding the next prospect. But, you know, here it's a little bit different, I guess.
Yeah, they have that base. You know, they have their 6-7 players, and it's so much easier to sign players afterwards because people come in and have to believe in the system.
Absolutely.
You as a coach don't have to sell the system anymore.
No.
The system's already
in
place.
I'm winning without you. So it's about you. Are you going to be a part of, you know, winning system? It's the same as, you know, vice versa. I'm losing without you. I can lose with you. So it's the same. It's your, like, I keep on telling that the players, guys, hey, you have to, you know, make decisions.
Yeah, they're, like most players, well, they figure it out when it's too late and they can't play anymore.
Well, listen,
like
nowadays it's kind of funny. Like, players, I mean, maybe it was like that all the time. Like, hey, they are looking for a good, stable financial situation.
Right.
Then they want to be happy. Then they want to play a lot, then they want to be successful. Actually, I'm not sure that I ever read any contract with the article, player needs to be happy.
Yeah.
It is about, you know, accepting your role or not. If your role is to be a 13th or 15th guy, you sign for it.
The question
it is tough. I know it's
better.
Tough.
Get better?
Yeah,
absolutely. You know,
or, you know,
work
you,
every
you,
day
you
and
heard
get better.
That. Yeah, you heard that like a 1,000 times before that, you know, be ready.
Yeah.
You never know.
No, that's why when I speak to kids, I always talk about opportunities. There's two moments. You have to realize there's an opportunity, and then you have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to grab it. Yeah. You never know when that dog will come again and bark in front of your, you know, door.
It may never come again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so many examples of it. Not too many of like, hey, I had the two chances. Seriously?
Yeah.
You know, so.
And if you do have two chances, you're pretty lucky. So then,
exactly.
Then you're off to Krika?
Yeah. And that was funny. I was there. It wasn't, you know, it was a small rivalry because, you know, Olympia is a big, big Slovenian name. That's a big house, powerhouse of Slovenian basketball. And Krika, we had a small team, you know, like, but we beat them first season.
3-2.
Yeah, then next year again. But next year we won FIBA. That was crazy. FIBA challenge.
Yeah. Challenge series against
our team players were 700,000 euros total. I'm not saying
get into that also.
Yeah, I'm not saying money is important, but it is.
Oh yeah, it is.
Listen, good and expensive things are expensive for a reason. You know, like that makes sense.
And when you buy cheap, you get cheap.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Listen,
I don't want to say that as a player.
No. We're not talking about it.
Store.
Yeah, we're talking about it. But listen, market today is all about, like, if you want to look at a human side of basketball, man, then this sport would not exist.
Mm-hmm. Then you had all this success there. So, I mean, teams your big EuroLeague teams at that time had to come chasing you down, but instead of going to a EuroLeague team, you went to Lithuania.
Yeah.
And you brought them to the EuroLeague, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. I will explain you that. I signed like a 3-year deal. And
did you have offers? You had offers. You had to have offers from EuroLeague teams.
I'm not sure. EuroLeagues. I had offers from some teams. From it was absolutely the abrogate from Kirka. Mm-hmm. You know, names of the club, money for me, money for the players. But you know what was with Lietuvos Rytas? It was, I don't know. I just ended up there. Anyway. We play qualifications. Tyrese Rice was that was his first season, you know, that he got great exposure.
The fun player to watch.
Him? I like him a lot. And we're playing, that's the final game, third game, against Galatasaray, I think. And we were up, let's say, 8-10 points, I don't know. And he twisted his ankle. And we didn't play EuroLeague that season, but we played EuroCup. And we went to a Final Four, we were third. We played finals of the WTB, but we didn't beat Žalgiris one time.
Right, but you lost to the powerhouse. You lost to Žalgiris. You lost to Ceska, I think.
And that was it.
We're talking about different budgets.
Oh yeah,
That's kind of like, you know.
I'm 100% sure that's the best Žalgiris team ever. Even this from the last year.
Yeah.
What they had that year was crazy.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? I'm really proud of one thing. That year, Jonas Valančiūnas was MVP of EuroCup as a 20-year-old kid. Wow. I'm very proud of it.
20-year-old kid.
I guess I was doing something right. Maybe I was not.
You're a very modest man.
No, I'm not. I just believe that there is other side of everything, you know. You can always say, listen, you will find so many people saying, like, come on, man. Joe, who you talking to, man? Who is this guy? But doesn't matter. Like, I really don't care. I know that I was really trying to help that kid, honestly. And after that season, you know, he's having a pretty good career.
Oh, yeah.
Mean, I think Tyrese Rice became a pretty good player, sorry. Yeah. You know, and
Tyrese Rice was amazing in Maccabi.
Yes.
Yeah, it was an amazing season for them.
You know, I'm satisfied the way things were there. Like, I spent the whole year in Lietuvos Rytas. I'm not sure that any foreign coach before me did that, or not too many. And I started the next season. And actually, I was fired after losing from CSKA with Krstić, Teodosic, all those Russians. Mm-hmm. Messina is coaching. Quinn Snyder, assistant coach.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, Quinn Snyder.
Yeah. And we lost point or two. They scored in, let's say, last 5 seconds. Then Nedović pushed the ball. Yeah, Nedović is one of the guys that I was coaching. Mm-hmm. Bogdan Bogdanović, too. And he was going for a layup, and one of the guards, you know, blocked the shot. Was it on the way down or not? Doesn't matter. We lost, and tomorrow I was fired. Very strange, I know. I mean, we lost some games before that, but
that's the coaching world right there, though.
I had one, you know, I had some ideas about point guard's position. Yeah, owner had different one.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people described you to me before this podcast when I was doing some research on you as the underdog.
Oh, that's the big guy.
As the underdog. The who?
Oh, that's that fat guy who's yelling.
No. What no, they were described saying. You as the underdog. You play that underdog role because, and it is. I mean, as I'm sitting here listening to your story, and I mean, now we're going to get into your team right now. I'm going to try to get you out of here in a few minutes, but you're a talker, so.
No. Yeah. I mean, listen, okay. I'm yours if you want to.
Okay.
We have to.
The underdog thing is like, you know, you've taken all these teams that are just not low budget, but middle of the road budget, yeah. Some of them low budget, and you've
listen,
done
our
successful
budget
things
this year
with them.
In EuroLeague is the lowest. It really doesn't matter that. I'm not sure. You know, I hope we'll win some games.
Of course you're going to win some games.
Yeah, listen, all three we were, I don't know, close. Yeah, we were -3 with our money, but they won 11. We were in front of Dačka, but we lost.
This is your first three games. You have a bunch of rookies on this squad right now that are playing the EuroLeague for the first time. And yeah. And I know they've played EuroCup, and they've had a lot of experience EuroCup.
No.
It's not the same.
No, this is totally different. This is a totally different thing. People not aware of it.
But you got here, you arrived here because you pulled off, I think, one of the biggest upsets, and that was last year beating Savannah Vesda.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you had to get by Cedevita.
That was also a big thing.
Right, and that was huge. But then you go on and you, yeah. I mean, to me, as I'm, other than going to Minnesota and being an NBA assistant coach, everything else, I got to feel like that's your biggest accomplishment.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of FIBA Challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of it. This is a small thing. It means nothing in European basketball. But for me, like I worked in ABBA League. You know, somebody says it's good, somebody says it's not, doesn't matter. But, you know, I worked there in four clubs. All four clubs ended on a Final Fours. So I guess that's not bad.
And then you asked me before we start why I want to talk to you.
And you know what? I'm proud that I won it last year. I'm really proud because, first of all, we were really not top level talent team. I mean, both teams were better than us. We just used the moment.
Yeah, and then I mean, it's what we talked about before. What you said earlier is, who's the best coach? Is the best coach always the one that wins? It doesn't always have to be the one that wins. It could be the person that, you know, last year, for example, you know, Sardis in Lithuania.
Sardis did a very good job.
It was an incredible job. Yeah. It was an incredible job. I mean, he's going to continue to do the
great,
same job.
I mean,
this
good
year.
Team. They were playing well. Yeah.
So who was the best coach of the year? You know, Pablo Laso was a great coach last year because he dealt with so many injuries and still had to keep his team
absolutely
there and motivated.
I agree.
But Sardis was right there also. Talk about coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Serbian coaching pedigree or the tree or I don't know what you want to call it. I have no idea. But, you know, Alexander Nikolic.
But all those guys are so higher than me that it's not even funny.
Yeah, but that's just your modesty show.
No, I'm not modest. Listen, it is funny to me when somebody's comparing himself with Željko, with Duda, with, you know, all those guys winning all those things, with Aca Nikolić. Come on, please don't do that.
I know if I sat
not
down.
Not you, but.
I know if I sat down a couple of weeks when Fenerbahce comes into town, if I sit down with Selko, which I usually meet him for a coffee or just sometimes a drink, you know how that goes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
If I sat down with him and I asked him about you, that's exactly what he would say. He would say that this guy's taken so many teams that shouldn't be where they were and gotten them there. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, to me, that's successful. That's being successful.
Yeah.
Like you said, you don't always have to win to be successful.
No.
And that's what you've done. You've also won along the way.
It is crazy, but I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Finally agree with something good about yourself.
Yeah, finally, man. I told you that's my biggest problem, talking good about myself. The thing is, you know, people don't understand, you know, we call that bar stories.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, there is a bunch of guys talking about.
The bar stool.
Huh?
Barstool.
Yeah. Like, hey, I can coach Fener. I can coach Real. Man, they have crazy players.
Right.
I said, you don't understand what coaching of talent means, really.
Yeah.
Come on. And if you're not in that position, people don't understand it. Listen, David was great. X and O's, yes, important. You have practices, games, preparation.
Right.
Everything else is so important. You know what changed in years? Like when you were young, I guess that, you know.
God, I always hate that. I always hate that statement. When you were young.
Okay. I guess like when you were younger. younger, I guess you asked coach for advices.
Yeah.
For sure. Am I right?
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah. Nowadays,
you're asking
agents. And that's a fact.
Right.
And we have to admit it. We have to accept it. Because I'm not a supporter of that. Agents are the mean guys trying to steal our money, whatever our money means, and whatever stealing means.
But they run a lot, though. They control.
Listen, is there any pro sport they're not doing it?
No, of course not.
Listen, it's evolution of sports.
And when you sit down and talk with an agent or whatever, my question is, when you sign a player, I don't care if it's a point guard.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's
I'm totally bad with it.
But what do you look for? What's the one intangible quality that you look for in a player?
I'm trying to find guys who are tough. For example, toughness is important for me. Then I'm trying to find stability. Then I'm trying to find guys who have some guy who wants to have a chance to prove something. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, Edwin Jackson this year. Everybody's saying like, oh, that's a bad thing. I said, okay, we'll see. Because I know he wants to prove something.
Right.
You know, so we'll see. I don't know, maybe I made a mistake. At least it was an honest mistake. I know what idea I was following.
Right. To finish things off, I gotta say you're a man after my own heart. There's no doubt about it. Because I hear that prior to games, you pump rock and roll. You're talking like Rage Against the Machine.
Are you serious? Who said that?
Oh, I do my research. I do my business.
I'm a
rocker. Is that a hard rock? Because Rage Against the Machine goes kind of hard.
It goes from hip hop to everything with the energy.
Uh huh.
It goes from hip hop to everything to energy. With, you know, like Rage, like Prodigy, like sometimes Metallica, sometimes some kind of punk, sometimes a hip hop.
Are you in control of that in the stadium? What's the name of the stadium? I got it right here.
I had more control in Belgrade and Krka, in Partizan and Krka. Here, it's a different crowd, but you know, I'm getting, you know.
You're breaking them in a little bit?
Well, yeah, we are educating people. Because, listen.
But does it drive you crazy going to these other gyms and hear this like R&B and some of the rap?
It's all right. I guess, you know, listen, people like that. I like it.
But I love the rock and roll, though.
No, it's all right. Sometimes you cannot play Rage Against the Machine. Sometimes, I guess. Sometimes you can. But, you know, the thing is, I really believe in energy. I even have my own, I don't know, is it my own? I guess it is. Like, pay your fee. Fee stands for focus, energy, effort.
Nice. I like that.
And once you pay your fee, then you can do that. Focus, then you can energy, do a lot effort. Of things. Focus, effort, energy. And, you know, yes, sometimes I'm trying to pump my players with that. Listen, sometimes I look funny with that, like, because they're not rock and roll generation. Like, what's with the old man?
So if I go to a game at Moracha, right? Is the name of your
hopefully, well, at least.
What am I going to hear? What's the one song I'll definitely hear?
Well, I cannot play Killing in the Name off, but
oh man, I love that one when I'm on a treadmill.
Are you serious?
Out.
That's a great song. Voodoo People from Prodigy.
Okay.
Voodoo People is fun.
Have you seen these guys in concert? Have you gone to see?
Yeah, I'm like a big time
concert goer.
Yeah,
you're not a groupie though.
I'm not one of those groupies that follow. No, I'm too big for a groupie. No, but I like to follow. Last year, for example, I was traveling from Belgrade to Zagreb to see Prophets of Rage.
Uh-huh.
You're hardcore, man.
Oh yeah, I am.
It's like there's some bands that I like. You know, I call them musicians, whatever.
Right.
Like if you have energy, listen. One of the best concerts ever was Prince.
Oh.
In Minnesota, and you know what he was playing?
Oh, that's his hometown. Too.
It is crazy. Listen, and he was playing because the guys from Macy's asked him to. No, literally, he was playing in front of the Macy's. He was playing first in Macy's, then in front of the Macy's. Macy's, like, you know what
Macy's
is.
Yeah,
like
department
store.
And
then, you know, police came like, hey, is there any chance that you can move, you know, somewhere next to, you know, outside of downtown, like next to the river? And he kept playing like, it was, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 hours of crazy. But, you know, I like to go concerts. I believe in that energy. Like, I believe in that. Maybe that's strange for other coaches. For example, there's a thing that I 100% don't believe in. Like, you know, wearing suits on the games.
Right.
I'm not a renegade. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not starting a revolution. But why? What's the reason? No, really. You're in your uniform and you're playing.
You're not going to coach any better.
Say it again?
You're not going to coach any better.
Absolutely. Yeah, but there is a bigger gap between me and my guys, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't understand it. Plus, there is no suit that will make me look good. So, and, you know, I'm fully aware of it. So believe me,
My favorite thing that I heard about you, and it's actually not about you, and I'll finish off with this, is I was told that if I went to a Partizan game, I would see your mother sitting in the front row.
Yes.
She continues to go to the game? And,
yeah, she's 78. She's 78.
78?
Yeah.
And she goes to every game?
She chewed and spit 2 cancers.
Really?
Yeah. She's a 2 cancer survivor, still going at every parties and games. Listen, I saw her today because I was we were traveling via Belgrade, and I was there for like 45 minutes. It's unbelievable. There, I mean, her comments. Those are fans' comments, but sometimes it is so deep.
She knows the game.
I don't know. I guess she feels it. I cannot say she knows it. Like, son, they don't pass to each other.
She's talking about partisan.
No, not partisan.
About your game.
Generally.
Is your mom going to be watching the game tomorrow?
She yeah,
she about EuroLeague TV listening to me about my conversation with you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she she doesn't speak English. But
so she might not understand.
But listen, she will find a way to find this podcast, and she will listen. But yeah, it's a fact. Like every game, start of the game, she's on his feet singing a song, and she's in the front row.
This is all because of your influence on her, your life, your life story.
Listen, my daddy passed away 2002. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I really wanted him to see me coaching in Partizan. I mean, he died, but, you know, that's one of the main reasons that I took the Partizan 2 years ago, or I don't know when it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not a great situation, believe me. It wasn't the situation for, like...
But was it a dream of your father's?
No, it wasn't his dream. It was just, you know, I wanted him because it is crazy. They were supporting me, of course, but they were always like, hey, son, let's make this like a hobby. And you have a regular job.
A regular?
And, yeah.
So it's like all parents.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
And...
This is like a trade school hobby,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and in that moment, I was a multiply national under 16, under 18 champion. I was like European under 16 champion. I was one of the youngest head coaches in Serbia ever. I was this. I was, let's say, a little bit successful. Still, son, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you should have.
I think he chose the right path.
Say it again.
I think he chose the right path.
Listen, the crazy thing is, like, when my teams are playing against Partizan, not sure.
Who she's cheering for?
Yes.
Come on.
No, I'm not joking.
Come on, really?
I'm not joking. Find games from the last year. Yeah, I'm playing against them. She's still standing and singing. You know? So what are you doing? And my brother, he's like, would you sit? You know, like you're mixing a little bit.
She has your fee thing going on, right? The focus energy.
Yeah, focus energy. effort, yeah.
Right there on the
but
court.
It's amazing,
maybe cheering against her own son.
Believe me, you know, like she's a 50-50. Of course, she likes me when I'm winning and everything. She's very happy.
Well, this
and
way she doesn't lose. If Partizan wins, she's a winner.
That's
if you
for
win,
her, that's best. But you know what? A couple of times when she was like really in a bad shape because of cancer and everything, she missed some games. Joe, you should see her when she's missing the game.
Miserable.
She's like, no, really, truly sad.
Oh, sad, okay.
Sad, miserable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I want to go. Now she's having problems to move, you know, and everything. Doesn't matter. Calling a cab, going to game, or some of my friends with her.
It's crazy.
It is.
Crazy.
I don't know.
78 years old.
78.
Beat cancer twice and showing up to every part of
the game. Yeah, still on every
game. Front row, too.
Front row, like... Court seats.
Court seats. I love it.
Yeah.
Coach, look at I can't thank you enough.
It was my pleasure.
It's all I have.
I hope I was not boring.
No. You're not boring. You're one of the best. I just want to thank you for taking the time out of a crazy schedule today. I know that you guys have been crazy traveling. And to tell the listeners at the crossover your story, man, this has been, to me, it's been amazing.
Yeah,
and I'm.
Yeah.
You got.
It's not a usual story.
You got another fan. You got another supporter, and I just want to thank you for sitting down with me. And I wish
Joe,
you the best of luck this season.
I will finish this podcast. I was a big fan while you were playing your role, man.
I appreciate that.
I really
appreciate that. Coming from you, that means a lot.
No, listen, you changed the game on that position, and you don't want to admit it, but you did.
Yeah, but then they changed it on me. Now they're all shooting threes, man. If I could have shot threes back then, imagine.
It was more of a lack of the habit than skills.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
I think so.
Listen, now it's like they call it the different modern basketball, whatever that means. I don't know what the modern means. I mean, you, whatever.
Coach Alejandro Vigicic, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe,
you
for
man.
Having me.
Appreciate
man.
It.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Same to you.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.